Hello and welcome to Walk the Talk with Kim. I am Kim Arellano. The show today is sponsored by Pearson Law Firm. Expect expert representation, a wealth of experience, and a kind, compassionate attitude from Pearson Law Firm. That is the Pearson Promise. And with me also is Eric Ryder, the producer. Hello.
Good afternoon, Kim. Happy Wednesday.
I missed last week because of the snow.
That's right.
And I feel like I've been gone a month.
Well, welcome back. We're glad to have you back here live in person.
Yeah, thank you. It's good to be back. And last week we heard a rerun from what I call the best of.
Yes.
Right, of the 25 plus shows I've done, the best of. But it was a good one. It was with our DECA person up in the Snoqualmie Valley, Lindsay Masters, and she is going into state competition this Friday. So everyone out there, give Lindsay her best and some good mojo there. And all of the kids that are participating in DECA. State's a big darn deal. If they do well in state, they get to go to Orlando, Florida for the national DECA thing. So let's wish all those kids great. It's a great program. And of course, we had Jerry Pearson from Pearson Law Firm talk about insurance and also about driving in the snow. So I thought it was particularly important.
Yeah, there was definitely some of that last week.
There was some of that. Oh, horrible pictures. And it's funny, we have a little body shop down the road from where we live, and every time you never fails, you see just the lineup of cars and
skin it out and got damaged.
Exactly. And it's funny because since the ridge has moved in, so we've got this new development, the ridge, Snoqualmie Ridge up there, the cars down at the bottom of the road are significantly nicer than they used to be. So they're nice cars down at the bottom. I feel sorry for those folks, but welcome and welcome to another episode of Walk the Talk with Kim. I am thrilled today to have on someone who I just bonded with. This woman immediately, I just adore her. Her name is Kim Estes, and she is from an organization called Savvy Parents Save Kids. And I was originally introduced to Kim. I'm on the PTA up in the Snoqualmie Valley, and she came and did a presentation for us, and I don't want to steal any thunder because I'm hoping we can talk about some of it today, but I really appreciate her enthusiasm and the things that have stuck with me. Not everything stuck, as I realize there are some things I forgot, but we'll relearn today. But there are some things that absolutely stuck with me, and I encourage all parents to definitely check out not only today's episode, but follow up, because there are some things that I have changed in the way that I interact with my kids in an effort to keep them safe in society today. So without any further ado, let's go ahead and welcome Kim. Hi, Kim. How are
Hello.
You? So it's the Kim and Kim show today.
It's very confusing.
So we are really walking the talk with Kims.
Yes, I love that.
Isn't that great?
It's fun.
There you go. Well, tell us a little bit about your organization and your mission, and then we'll get into specifics.
Well, and of course, you know, I didn't set out to do this. It just kind of happened. In 2006, as I've explained many times at lovely PTA meetings, where I was a mom, just like you guys. Still, I'm just a mom. It's awesome. But we had a predatory incident happen at our school, and it was quite shattering to our entire learning community. And we realized that we just didn't have a lot of really proactive tips and tools into place, and thought, you know what? If I need help, I bet you there are a lot of other parents who would be open to learning about safety. And I think the biggest mission is, one, to let as many people know about how important prevention education is in keeping our kids safe, but how absolutely powerful just the conversation between you and your kids on a regular basis is in keeping them safe. And it doesn't have to be scary or gross or graphic or horrible. And, you know, safety is really important, and I think people shy away from it because they're afraid they're going to ruin their kids' innocence, and it's not like that at all. So, but your school district was amazing. I've been out there a couple times, and you have got some feisty parents. I love
going out there.
And of course, you know, and we hit it off right away. I thought we were just going to sit out in the parking lot and talk forever. That was a lot of fun. So, but it is a real eye-opener for parents to realize it doesn't have to be scary. And it's easy.
You're worried about age-appropriateness.
Totally.
And what we're talking about when you're talking about safety, we're talking about more than just looking both ways before you cross the street.
Right.
I think that there's this media-fed paranoia Mm-hmm. And you talked a little bit about this, that we think that there's predators lurking around every single tree waiting to snatch our kids as they walk by. And so we do the obvious things, but that's not always where the dangers are.
No. And, you know, we were just talking about this coming in a little bit, too, that there was a thing on Oprah, and I posted a link on my Facebook page about two girls who were sexually abused by family members. And so it isn't the stranger. It is often, in most likely somebody we know that we have given access to our kids. And so my big thing when I talk to parents is what to look out for. Because then, of course, you want to freak out going, what? People I know and trust and love and, you know, have access to my kids could be bad people. True, it could be. But if we're looking out and we know what to be looking out for, we can have a much clearer idea of what we need to be talking to our kids about and what we need to be looking out for and keeping our kids safe. Because most often, crimes committed against kids and adults are committed by people that we know and have led into our lives.
And I can imagine in the particular case you're talking about, I watched that this morning after you posted it. Great information on Facebook, by the way. You need to give us your Facebook address.
Savvy Parents Safe Kids.
There you go. And so definitely join you on Facebook because you post tips all the time that are really, really great reminders.
And bite-sized.
And bite-sized. Bite-sized. Yeah,
little things, easy bite-sized.
Easy little things you can do. And what I really appreciated about you when you came and spoke to us is I didn't get this, oh my God, I'm so afraid. It was more on this, you know what? We're parents. We raise kids. You know, just do the stuff you're doing well. Keep doing it. And just kind of keep your eyes open and peeled for other things. And I really appreciate that because there's a lot of fear mongering out there. So in this situation, when they were talking about the two girls that were molested, they were actually molested by an older brother. That was, they were 5 and he was 10.
And then another brother.
And then
their dad.
It was horrible.
After the mother was made aware. Yeah. She told the husband horrible. And then he started. It was terrible. It was horrible, horrible, horrible. And people had known and suspected, and it took forever for these girls to get help.
It was horrible. And I was just imagining being in the situation as the mom where your kids come to you and say, you know, older brother, or older cousin, or older something, you know, it's family is doing something, the situation that you're put into, huh? You know, how you would deal with that situation would be difficult.
Well, and I think, you know, one of the things that one of the myths out there is that people think, oh, you know, kids falsely accuse and stuff like that. And that is really not accurate. In fact, the truth is that kids actually underreport. So if a child comes to you and discloses things that are happening, the chances are more likely that, one, this is not a first-time thing that's gone on. They may not have all the facts straight, but the chances are if they've had the brave voice to come and talk to you, that there's probably some sort of rooted truth in this, and you need to listen and investigate further and get them help, get your kid, get them the help that they need.
Right. And so it's not only sexual abuse, but there's bullying involved as well.
Absolutely.
And I've heard horror. I grew up as an only child, but I've heard horror stories from my friends who had siblings that used to beat the snot out of them on a regular basis. Is that abuse in this day and age?
It depends on what the family. You know, it's interesting because I have seen and heard and witnessed different situations where I clearly think, you know, I believe that our story starts at home. And if we are going to value and respect ourselves and we want our children to value and respect themselves, that respect needs to start at home. Mm-hmm. And if an older sibling is pummeling them and beating them up regularly, I think that definitely starts setting the precedent for what's expected. If you're getting abused like that at home, what is to ever stop you from saying no to somebody who would start abusing you once you're dating, you're at work, you know, and you're out in the kind of the real world. So,
right.
But there are parents, oh, that's just what kids do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it weighs heavily on the family's value system.
Yeah. But, amazing. I can't even imagine. One of the things that you had talked about, which struck home with me, is you had mentioned this concept of, you know, even if your home you feel is fine and everything's happy and, you know, as much as it can be, that you at some point in time might be that safe adult. What did you call it? Was it safe adult?
Safe grown up.
Safe grown up.
Yeah.
For another child. Can you talk a little bit more about that idea of safe grown up?
Yeah. Well, you know, we talk so much about for every one adult, you know, who goes through some sort of training and safety, the 10 kids are protected. So the ripple effect is that your safety modeling of your behavior within your own family will extend beyond the walls of your home. So if your kids are doing the check-in, if your kids are talking about their family safety rules, other kids are going to hear this. And so that ripple effect will go out. And it is possible and likely that if a child senses that there's a safe place to come talk to somebody within your home, they will do that, especially if they're not feeling comfortable talking about safety in their own home. And oftentimes it's because it's never been brought up. It's never been approached as a subject that, hey, we just talk about safety. You know, you can come talk to me about anything. Parents aren't initiating the conversation. So the kids don't have that comfort level in bringing it up on their own. But if they're seeing that happening in your home, yes, then they will come and most likely come and talk to you about safety issues. Or they'll talk to your child, and your child will say, let's talk to my mom, no, or let's talk to my dad, because we always talk about this stuff.
I would be honored.
Yeah.
Would be honored. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about safety tips about keeping kids safe and keeping parents savvy. We're going to talk about cell phones. This was an eye-opener for me and your kids. So you're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim on KKNW, Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Making sure I'm not in too deep.
Jerry and Michelle Pearson of the Pearson Law Firm are local residents just like you who have a passion to help those who have been wronged in our community. If you have a personal injury, automobile accident, property hazard, industrial injury, defective product, or nursing home neglect issue, award-winning Pearson Law Firm can help anywhere in Washington. Contact them today for a free case evaluation at 800-423-8473. That's 800-423-8473, or check them out at walkthetalkwithkim.com. Ever feel like strangling your boss?
You little...
Or maybe you're the boss and your employees make you want to strangle yourself. Drop that noose and tune in or call in to The Boss Show, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150. Hosts Jim Hessler and Steve Motenko, co-owners of Path Forward Leadership Development, will take your calls on everything boss-related, offering deep insights with a dollop of outrageousness. The Boss Show, workplace wisdom with heart and humor, Wednesday afternoons at 5, starting February 2nd.
Have you heard the phrase, "The beatings will continue until morale improves"? To organizations, employees are the biggest assets and biggest fans. If they're not feeling heard or appreciated, the bottom line will suffer. For mission-driven organizations, the reliance on employees and managers to rally around the core messaging is critical for success. At Ariano Consulting, we provide leadership best practices, education, and communication strategies for mission-driven organizations. Whether you're a business of one, middle manager, or leader in a large company or nonprofit, our experiential workshops and focused on organizational psychology will assist you in achieving success with your messaging and vision. Call for a free consultation today, 425-888-9790, or check us out at www.walkthetalkwithkim.com. Ariano Consulting, achieving your message through understanding human behavior.
Bringing you fresh perspectives every day. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. I'm Kim Ariano, and we're very thrilled to be talking about Savvy Parents, Safe Kids with Kim Estes. But I also wanted to let you know that this weekend, obviously, if you're a listener to this radio station, you've heard a lot about the Northwest Women's Show that's coming. I'm actually going to be doing a presentation on Saturday, March 5th, from 2 to 3 p.m., and I'm going to talk about being stuck and how to get unstuck. So are you going to come to the Women's Show, Eric?
I don't think I'm invited.
He looked at me and says, please don't ask me that question. I'm inviting you.
But it's the women's show.
Well, you know? And you
it's
know,
for ladies.
There's nothing that
it's
makes
ladies
women
night
more happy.
For 3 days.
Well, somebody's got to carry the bags. Don't you have that special someone that you can bring with you that you can carry their bags?
I think I'm stuck.
Really?
I can't go. I'm sorry.
I'll bet you that somebody would give you a facial. Maybe a foot rub.
That does sound really nice. Mm-hmm. That does sound really nice, but I've got so much already in store for the weekend that I just can't do it. But it does sound like a fabulous event.
It's going to be a really fun event.
Many of our show hosts will be there. So
yeah.
It's exciting. Yeah.
It's a big deal. And so I was invited by the Chat with Women. And so I will be speaking. Now there's different stages. And so they've got four or five stages that are going all at once. I meant the Chat with Women one. And unfortunately, I didn't write down which stage that was. But Chat with Women has that whole afternoon. Actually, I think they've got that whole day.
Oh, great.
So when you come into the event, if you're coming to the Northwest Women's Show, look for the event where the Chat with Women are, and I'll be there. Walk the Talk with Kim, and it actually will probably be under Ariano Consulting, and I'll be doing my presentation that I've given quite a few times about being unstuck and what happens when our left brain, which is our very analytical brain, and our right brain, which is our creative brain, aren't in agreement. We're stuck. So I'm going to give you some tools and techniques for how you get them to have a conversation and get in agreement and to come up with something that you could never have thought of without those two in agreement. So it should be fun. Again, that's this Saturday, March 5th. From 2 to 3 p.m. on the Chat with Women stage. And so, welcome. We were talking, Kim, about being that safe grown-up. And that was kind of resonated with me because after that, I had a sleepover with...
You're brave.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know if I think I did tell this story, but I'll tell it again. So, there's that one side of mom that says, I don't want to send out invitations and not have anybody come.
Ooh,
Yeah. So you over-invite.
Oh, no.
And I over-invited.
Oh, no. I know where this is going.
Every one of them came. And, of course, I had to have an extra one for my son. And so I had 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 kids.
Wow.
In my house. Yes. It was amazing. Wow. And I wasn't anticipating the problems that I had. The problems that I had anticipated didn't happen. But the problems that I hadn't anticipated did. For example, 4 o'clock in the morning, knock, 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 knock. I'm scared. I want to go home.
Nice.
Yeah, exactly. And so those were kind of some of the issues that I was dealing with.
But isn't that great that child felt comfortable enough to come forward and say, I want to go? Not to you at 4 in the morning, but
this is Ariano. Can you take me home? Yes, I felt good that they felt comfortable enough to come in and talk to me. And I did notice that quite a few of them did feel comfortable asking for things and what you wanted and what they wanted. And it was a good time. I had a lot of fun, but it was that when I was tired and I was ready to go and I had to sit up with kids for a little bit and just a couple of them, that were really afraid. And that was kind of sad. But you had talked about cell phones.
Yeah.
And this concept of my child having a cell phone, at first it was like, my daughter's 9. She's not getting a cell phone. She's not getting a cell phone until she's out of the house and can buy her own. There's no reason for her to have a cell phone. She's just going to do all these bad things with it. There's no point. But you brought up an incredible point about cell phones that totally changed my mind.
It's my new soapbox.
Mm.
I have to say, I started out in the same camp. I'm like, no way. This is ridiculous. But I learned that it is actually an incredible safety tool.
Mm.
And also, I think, and I'm not advocating, every parent has different rules.
Right.
And your kid has a different maturity level. You're going to weigh all those things into this. But when children are in the 9, 10, 11-year-old age group, they still listen to you. I know there's parents probably out there snickering going, no, they don't. But they do. And you do have more influence. So it's a great time to introduce the phone as a tool. And because here's the deal. Kids do not want to stand out with their peers as being the tattletale, the chicken, the wimp, whatever. They do not want to stand out. So parents will say, if you're in trouble, you need to call me, this and that. Well, one, if you don't provide a tool to call you when they're out, that's the first thing that's going wrong in your plan. Secondly, children are not going to pick up the phone. I've talked to teens and tweens, and they're like, yeah, I'm not going to be the one in the group picking up the phone. Like, who are you talking to? I'm calling my mommy. It's not going to happen. But a kid will text you.
Mm-hmm.
And children will also be more likely to call you or text you personally versus going and asking another adult, can I call my mom? kids feel uncomfortable sometimes about that.
So, I can imagine. Yeah. I remember being a kid. It had been mortifying to walk up to somebody and say, I need to call my mom. And of course, I'd look at you and go, why? What's wrong? And you're like, you know?
Yeah.
Could be anything, but not something you want to discuss with a stranger.
Well, and some parents, you know, don't maybe share the same urgency mm-hmm. about the situation as your child might. So they might dismiss them. Well, you're fine. You go, you know, and that may not be what you've talked to your child about. Mm-hmm. And you say, no, if this is going on, I want you to call. Or worse, the mom's like, they're doing what? And mm-hmm. then goes over and, you know, and then the kids get in trouble. And then the kid's looking like the tattletale. So the phone is a great tool. And it's a great way to start practicing the check-in with your kids. I'm going to be, and what if you're late? How often has it been where we've gotten stuck in traffic and we're running 5 or 10 minutes late and you can't have a way to reach your kid?
Right.
So it's really great. And I loved when I came in, we started talking about texting with our kids, because the most text messages that go on right now between me and my kids are between me and my kids, not between them and their friends. And I'm sure that will change. Right. But you and I were discussing how great it is to get some of those really sweet messages.
And they are adorable.
They're
messages.
Adorable.
And it was funny because my daughter sent me a message, you know, when are you going to be home? And I sent her a message back, I'm leaving right now. And she says, please make sure you drive real safe. I love you, mommy.
It's the best.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I know when I was a kid, I used to worry about my parents too. Because mm-hmm. again, in the media, you hear all these horrible, terrible, bad things that can happen to people. And when you're that age and you're developing and your brain's developing and you're starting to see that the world doesn't necessarily revolve around you. Yes, it does happen right about the age of 5. Kids start to realize that they're not the center of the universe. I know, shocking, but it's scary for them, mm-hmm. and to be able to have that reach out and just say, you know, mom, I'm worried about you, and to be able to say back, you know, I'll be home very soon, and to be able to soothe them in that way that you've never been able to do before.
Oh, and the check-in thing is amazing. Mm. You know, and we talked about this in the workshop that I give for parents of tweens, and I said, you know, model your behavior. So, you know, every night when I teach a workshop, I call home and check in, and usually I'll just either talk to my husband or the kids and say, hey, I'm on my way, yada, yada, yada. So when my daughter started junior high this year, the first day of school, she gets on the bus and completely unprompted texts me and says, I'm on my way home. Should I pick up Sissy? And where do you think she got that from?
Yeah.
She learned that from the modeling of the behavior, and she does it every day. And I love it. And it's like, yes, pick your sister up. No, don't pick your sister up. Or, you know, the young one will get on, hi, mommy. It's great. And mm-hmm. It's really, I know it's gotten a bad rap. We hear these things, children sending out 13,000 text messages.
Right.
But really, for the most part, between, you know, in those beginning years, it really is. And lay out your rules. Talk about your family rules. You don't have to get an iPhone with a full data plan. Get a basic texting plan and start small and work from there. But we love it. We love the texting in the family, and it's great.
And I think you're right about the rules. And so when after I, you know, my daughter's birthday was right after that, and I thought, you know, I'm going to look at cell phones. And you can get a refurb phone from AT&T that has the full QWERTY keyboard, which is great because then they can learn how to type at the same time, even though it's with their thumbs.
And spelling.
I was in spelling. And you get to kind of watch what they're struggling with from a spelling perspective. It was funny. Like, we need to work on your ours, Gia. But I was actually off topic, but I was thinking, what's going to happen to these kids when they actually have to type at a keyboard? They know how to do it with their thumbs. Are they going to, you know,
it'll be just like we did. They're just moving from the index fingers to the thumbs. Remember the hand pecking away at the keyboard.
Or maybe the keyboards will change. So all the keyboards will be like this on a kid. Who knows what's going to happen?
Well, I think it's a powerful tool. I really do. Because a kid will text you under the table quietly saying, I need to get out of this situation. I don't feel good. I'm scared of whatever, versus ever picking up the phone and calling you. So
yeah, I didn't even think about, you had mentioned one time about what if somebody's been drinking?
Yes.
And of course, you know, you're talking about the peer pressure, but what if it's your friend's parents? And that might be okay in their house, but then they're going to drive you home.
We talk about this in the tween class, the parents of tweens, because, you know, you have a child who may be getting rides home from other adults or may be doing the babysitting thing. And to talk openly with your kid about, hey, if they come home or you know, from being out and they want to drive you home, do you have a plan in place if somebody's been drinking? Because they're not going to pick up that phone and say, I'm going to call my dad right now because you've obviously been drinking.
Yeah.
No. But boy, they could sure text that message in under 3 seconds.
Yeah. And it would be really easy to say thank you. And then on your way, say, oh, I was just in the neighborhood. I know it was time to pick her up. I just thought I'd swing in and grab her anyway. And then nobody's feelings are, it's not weird. It's just.
Yeah, you're not putting your kid in the middle
of that,
of safety. They're just getting help where they need it, and that's what you want.
Now, so I'm one over. I think it costs $15 a month to add her to our plan, and that's it. And it's great. And she tells me what her brother's doing, and she was sick last week, and I had to go run across the street, and she texted me and she was okay. So I thought it was a great idea, and I took all the games off of it, and there's rules on it. You know, if it comes out at school, it's gone. If you lose it, you're not getting a replacement one for it. When it comes home, I want you to plug it in, and I get to check your messages. Yada, and she's fine.
Yep.
She's
and there's fine. A lot of anxiety with little kids too, if they're sitting by the curbside and they don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. To be able to text them or call them and say, listen, I'm running 5 minutes late. Mm-hmm. Stay put.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've had to call the school and tell them that before.
Or if somebody pulls up, you know, and we've talked about how stranger abduction is unusual and rare, but if somebody they know suddenly comes and says, hey, your mom said she wants me to pick you up. Well, if your kid's got the phone, they can text you or call you and say, mom, you know, so-and-so's here to pick me up. You didn't let me know about that. It's like, wait a minute, that wasn't part of our planner. Oh, I'm sorry. So it really closes the loopholes on some safety issues.
You just brought up a real good point that we're going to talk about when we come back from the break, and that's creepy people and listening to your intuition, which is close to my heart. Not that I know creepy people, but we all know creepy people.
Yeah, they're out there.
Yeah, they're out there.
They're out there.
So you're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim on KKNW AM 1150. We're talking with Kim Estes and Savvy Parents Save Kids. Come back.
Whether they're working on an automotive accident case or helping a client injured by a defective product, the Pearsons are passionate about serving their clients. Their successful approach tackles the right issue at the right time with the best tools and expertise available. Clients rave about the Pearson Law Team's savvy abilities to ensure clients' voices are heard and to demystify the legal process and explaining choices and opportunities. Contact them at 800-423-8473 or PearsonLawFirm.com. That's P-E-A-R-S-O-N LawFirm.com. Or check out WalkTheTalkWithKim.com for more.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes. Join me on Wednesday afternoons from 2 to 3 p.m. for the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. Listen to discussions on dog-related topics and call in to voice your opinion or ask my opinion about your dog. We will talk about everything from dog behavior to pet food to dog training programs in prisons. The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. Tune in Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
Hi, this is Kim Ariano. Nonprofits and charities get ready to howl. As the brainchild of two women from right here in our own backyards, FetchUpon.com is here to support all of us, from consumers and vendors to local charities and nonprofit organizations. Now, of course, ridiculous deals will be unleashed 5 days a week to curb your growing appetite for savings. Sundays, however, will be completely dedicated to promoting It's All for a Good Cause. Open to all organizations and associations looking for a new way to raise awareness and funding, It's All for a Good Cause is easy and completely free. Times are rough, so if you have an organization or charity that can use extra support and exposure, be sure to contact the FetchUpon team at FetchUpon.com. Don't have a charity or nonprofit to recommend? Get your good citizen cap ready, because FetchUpon.com offers its members a chance every week to make a difference. Ridiculous savings and the opportunity to give back? Don't let this opportunity go to the dogs. Sign up today for free by following the FetchUpon link on my homepage, www.walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Listen live at 1150kknw.com. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim on KKNW AM 1150. I'm just getting over a cold, so I feel like I've got that husky voice going on.
It's kind of sexy.
Isn't it? Kind of.
I kind of like it.
Yes. Welcome. You're listening to The Smooth Ravings.
The Smooth Ratings?
The Smooth Ravings.
That's a great name for a show.
You think so? Smooth yeah. Ravings?
Smooth Ravings.
What'd you think I said?
I thought you said Smooth Ratings.
Oh, Smooth Ratings. Like, yes. Is it a highly rated show?
Exactly.
That's good, too. How no, I was thinking Ravings is like a lunatic. Or
right.
Lunatic.
But very smooth.
But very smooth.
Isn't that Glenn Beck? All right, let's move on.
Yes. But we digress. And so we were talking about creepy people.
Yeah.
That's a brilliant segue.
Right before we went to the break. Yes, let's talk about raving creepy people. Hi.
Hey. And she looks at me. No.
Yes, no, not you. No, very good. So one of the things that I teach in organizational psychology and psychology is we talk about that personality type or that psychopathic type of individual. And these individuals, we laughingly refer to, they are either in jail or they're running organizations and corporations because you have to have that lack of empathy or that not being able to learn empathy. And when we talk about positive regard in these classes, we talk about, you know, even those types of people, it's not that they're bad, they do bad things. And they're very disarming. You have that intuition with them of either that you just really, really like them or you really, really hate them. And children are not equipped necessarily with the piece of tool that tells them what to do when they sense that. But they are very, very intuitive and well-equipped all around creepy people. So talk about what you talk about when you're having these conversations with your children without scaring them to death. How do you have the there are bad creepy people out there and here's what you look for?
Well, first, you know, that uh-oh feeling we get is adults are terrible. We ignore it, we blow it off, we excuse it, we do all sorts of crazy stuff. Kids are so organic in that when they get that feeling, it's like just what you said. They get it, and it's kind of like, but they don't know what to do with it. So it's our job as the savvy parent to help them understand. So, you know, again, we go back to it doesn't have to be scary. So start out small. You don't have to immediately jump into talking about creepy people with your 3-year-old or your 4-year-old. But what you can say, you can start out with an example of, let's say, you are, and these are the examples that I use in my workshop a lot. Let's say you're in the car, you're driving, and you have to put on your brakes really fast. And you kind of get that feeling in your stomach. That is the perfect moment to say, oh my goodness, I had to stop fast. I got kind of a funny uh-oh feeling in my stomach. Did you? And the kids are sitting there thinking, okay, I got that feeling. That's what that is. So you've identified what it is. Or let's say you're walking down the street and there's a large dog on the other side and your child is kind of moving up to the side of you. You can tell they're apprehensive. There is a perfect moment there to say, oh, you know, I see there's a dog over there and you look a little afraid. You have kind of that uh-oh feeling in your stomach. So start with kind of benign, I would say, or everyday situations with your kids to introduce what the feeling is, give it a name and talk about it. And as adults talk about it. And boy, oh boy, men, please talk about it because boys underreport crimes in general because they feel like they have to be tough and brave. And if they are getting the message from the men in their lives that, you know what, little man, we all get scared. We all get that uh-oh feeling. They'll be more likely to speak up when it's happening. So, you know, identify it through normal everyday situations and then you can start moving into, hey, you know, sometimes, you know, there's people that are around us and maybe even a person gives us an uh-oh feeling in our stomach. And, you know, sometimes we don't know why, but it happens. And, you know, when you get that feeling, you should always let a safe grown-up know what's going on. We had a situation where we were at an event with my kids and it was fascinating because if you're getting an uh-oh feeling, chances are other people are getting that uh-oh feeling as well. And my kids came up to me, both of them, and said, this particular person in this event is giving me an uh-oh feeling. And I had already had two other adults come up to me and say, I don't know what that person's gig is, but they're giving me the uh-oh feeling. So we openly talked about it right there at the event. And we weren't afraid. We weren't embarrassed. I'm like, yeah, I'm getting the uh-oh feeling too. And you know, my kids were curious. They're like, why? What do you think? I'm like, I don't know.
Anybody eavesdropping on that conversation would be dying, I'm sure.
Well, at that point, we had a collective group of people like, yes. You know, and we couldn't specifically, there wasn't anything visual about the person, but it was their actions that were kind of setting off a bad vibe and sending off the alarms. And, you know, was that person a predator? I don't know. But our intuition was telling us it was time to stop, pause, and take a second look at the situation.
We talk about in the evolution of humans, the intellect and the cognitive part of our, or that part, that thinking part of our brain was the last to evolve, and it's also the slowest. The fastest to evolve, in the, or the oldest part of our brain, and the fastest part of our brain is the fight or flight response. But right in the middle, there's a feeling response. It's that intuition. And that intuition and your fight or flight response are older, quicker, and in a lot of cases more accurate than the thinking part of your brain. So the point is, this is try to bring them all together. So you're making decisions with all three parts of your brain. We don't, I'm getting on my soapbox here for a moment. We don't do a good job of teaching kids at all how to build their intuition and use their intuition. We almost train it out of them.
We absolutely train it out of them.
We want logic. Mm-hmm. We want, you know, don't make a decision unless you weigh all the points, A, B, C, those kinds of things. And I think that part of the modeling for our children is we need to get in touch with those uh-oh feelings. And so what I tell adults in work environments, because this happens in work too.
Oh, this is a life skill.
Yes.
It this happens is a everywhere, life skill, people.
Is when you meet somebody, take a gut check inventory. Mm-hmm. Do you want to hug them? Do you want to run from them? Or do you want to hit them?
And just for the record, so we know, we hugged when we saw each other.
Yes, we did.
We hugged. Yes, there was no uh-oh feelings.
No, people don't get a lot of uh-oh feelings around me. They go, oh, dear God, feelings. But not too many uh-oh feelings with me. But yeah, you can tell there's some people that you feel very comfortable with immediately. Mm-hmm. And there's some people that you feel very comfortable with immediately, but you don't really know why and you don't really feel right about it. That's important data to listen to.
Well, and there's, you know, people who commit crimes, and, you know, I know we're focusing a lot, obviously, because that's what I do, on the kids, but I also, this spills over into the adult world, as we talked about, was that people who commit crimes against other humans are typically master manipulators.
Right.
They work incredibly hard to be charismatic. But under all of that, there is that instinct. It's like, gosh, you know, this person, their exterior is telling me I should trust them, and they're very charismatic, but there's just that nagging gut feeling. No, I shouldn't. There's something unusual. I don't feel comfortable.
You can tell when you're being manipulated. We all can. Mm-hmm. But we've been taught to be nice, to be polite, to smile, to give people the benefit of the doubt. And I think, like you, I say, you know, there's a lot to be said for positive regard, for treating people with respect. But please, 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 everybody, use that intuitive piece, that data piece. If anything, just file it, because you've dealt with that personality your entire life in one way, shape, or form. We run into them all the time. And recognizing is going to serve you very well. And it's also really great modeling for your kids.
Well, and you know, the interesting thing, and I actually had talked about this on Facebook, and I'm going to actually blog about it in the coming month.
Good.
Is that not only do we ignore it, but if, let's say we get this uh-oh feeling from somebody, and then we decide not to ignore it, and then we take that step and we vocalize it to another person, it is fascinating that the other person will try to talk you out of your feeling. And this just happened to me.
Mm.
I'm like, hello, people. I am the safety mom. And you're trying to talk me out of my uh-oh feeling. And this just happened recently. Mm. And it was an earnest effort by this other adult to, just absolutely talk me out of my uh-oh feeling. And I just found it to be fascinating. I did not change my uh-oh feeling. But
no.
But I thought, this is a really interesting concept. Because what do you do if a child comes to you? And you can imagine the conversation. I don't feel comfortable going to, you know, soccer, my coach, you know, or youth group or whatever, because this person makes me feel uncomfortable. And the parent saying, what? That's honey, no.
He's the pastor of the church and very influential in town.
And he's very good, and he cares about kids.
Right.
And then, you know, that same conversation could be played when that person's arrested later, and they're in the news, and they interview people around them. And they say, I can't believe it. They were so wonderful. They loved kids. They were so trustworthy. I never saw it coming.
Now, you told a story, and one that goes to home, about the jogger that ran around naked. How long did he run around naked for before somebody finally got him?
Oh, my.
It wasn't Eric.
He's
not. No, it was not.
No, it was not Eric. Tell us real quick this story.
So, you know, the story, and I talk about this because, I adults are responsible for the safety of kids, and we need to report things to people when things don't seem right. Don't ignore naked joggers. So there was a jogger who was arrested for attacking a young girl, 14 years old. This was in January of last year. And I always say, that's a key word here, people. January. And he attacked her, and she did all the right things. She fought him off. She screamed, and she immediately went and got help. They called the police. He was caught. He was actually a registered sex offender, so obviously he was in violation of his parole. The fascinating part was that when it hit the media, there was something like 20 women that came forward afterwards saying, oh, I saw that guy in November. Running without his pants, without his shirt, without, you know, he exposed himself, and none of them had actually called the police. So I always say, that is a red flag. Naked joggers in December would be reason to call the police.
Yes.
And their reasoning was, well, I just thought it was icky or yucky. But what they ended up doing was that for every person who did not call, they just passed the responsibility to the next person and the next.
Up until the point where a 14-year-old girl had the one that had to take the responsibility.
Right, so a child had to fight for her safety. Yeah. And that was wrong on behalf of the adults who ignored. Big red flags, I'm sure, some significant uh-oh feelings. So
lesson learned, if you see naked joggers in the wintertime, that's not
a good
thing.
You should call any naked jogger. Any naked jogger.
Better to be safe than sorry.
I once err on the side of caution.
I once called the police on police. We had some undercover police that were doing some work, and I called the police and said, there's a guy running around with a gun. And they're like, yeah, we know. He's like, yeah, do it, man.
I called 911 recently to report a... And people always say, oh, I don't want to bother 911. I'm like, listen, they get them all. But I called to report a power outage. A light was out, not a power outage at my home. But it was rush hour. There was a lot of traffic. The light was out. And I just said, hey, I'm just calling to report this. My kids were in the car. Mm-hmm. I wanted them to see, this is how it's done.
Yeah. That awesome modeling behavior. We're going to take a break. Fascinating conversation.
Love it.
Love it. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what do you put on your door? Because I have to relearn this one. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim on KKNW AM 1150.
Since 1977, Pearson Law Professionals have compassionately guided individuals and their families through the legal process to seek justice for insurance disputes and personal injury claims. Pearson Law has secured justice in civil matters with a network of resources, wealth of experience, and a compassionate attitude. That's the Pearson Promise. Call 800-423-8473. That's 800-423-8473 for a free case evaluation. Or check them out at walkthetalkwithkim.com.
There's an exciting new Astrology Hour, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. with Deborah Silverman. Deborah's unique blend of psychology and astrology turns planetary language into plain English. Join us for an interactive hour that's guaranteed to give you personal insights in a fun and entertaining way. Tune in to Deborah Silverman Live. Whatever your life question, marriage, job, family, relocation, or just curiosity, call for a live reading Tuesdays at 5 p.m. and visit Deborah's website at DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com.
Come join the original Adventure Boot Camp for women in the Pacific Northwest. 7 years and running. See for yourself what it's all about, an experience you don't want to miss. Adventure Boot Camp is a 4-week outdoor fitness program that offers fitness instruction, nutritional counseling, and motivational training, packed with fun and energizing activities designed to help you build a strong, fit body and mind. Whether you want to lose unwanted fat to feel fabulous in your clothes, or if you want to boost your metabolism and renew your energy, this program is for you. Now is the time to get started. Class sizes limited and fills quickly. So go to eastsidebootcamp.com or call Kimbro at 425-890-5037.
Radio with no added hormones or preservatives. All natural, alternative talk, 1150 AM.
Hello and welcome back to Walk the Talk with Kim. A couple of announcements for you before we get back to what do you need to put on the inside of your door. The 22nd of March from 5 to 8 p.m. in Bellevue, Ariano Consulting will be starting a new class. I've been talking about this on air. These are the 10 Essentials of Pathwise class that talk about different aspects of psychology in business environments. It's very fascinating stuff. We've got a new group going and they're starting on March 22nd. So if you're interested, please go to www.walkthetalkwithkim.com. Again, www.walkthetalkwithkim.com, and you can click on more information about the 10 Essentials there. And then also don't forget the Northwest Women's Show on March 5th from 2 to 3 p.m. on the Chat with Women stage. And then we just heard a commercial on Eastside Bootcamp. Eastside Kimbro is still offering that 1 week free. So we just started a new session. It was awesome. So come join us at Bootcamp at www.eastsidebootcamp.com. She's got classes going in Bellevue and in Snoqualmie. So that's eastsidebootcamp.com and get 1 week free. Compliments of Eastside Bootcamp and Walk the Talk with Kim. So there you go, Kim. Tell me about the sign on the door that I completely forgot.
I quizzed you.
I know.
I did.
I'm glad you did.
Did you? I know.
And I went, what?
What?
Hey, man, I got the cell phone. I got a whole bunch of other stuff.
You did really good.
Yeah, not too bad.
But I said, you are spunky.
I am spunky.
You are a good savvy parent.
We have strengths and weaknesses, as my kids will tell you.
It's a process. Let me tell you. I'm the safety mom, and I get my kids catch me off guard. Mm-hmm. My youngest is the one who really gives me tons of material for my workshops. So, but yes. The question behind what do you put on your door? So, you know, tweens are often asking, please don't make me go to the grocery store with you. I'd like to stay home by myself. So that's a big rite of passage. And it's also a nerve-wracking thing for parents. And one of the first things that parents tend to say to their kids is, if somebody comes to the door, don't go to the door. Don't answer the door. But, you know, the rule of thumb is changing a little bit on that. We still don't want our kids to open the door to anybody at all. They should never open the door. But we want our kids to acknowledge the door, which means they are letting that person on the other side know that there is a person on the inside.
Yes.
So that you're not in a situation where somebody is dinging on doorbells, knocking on doors to see if someone's home. Mm-hmm. Then when no one answers, they go around the back and break in. You do not want your kids caught in a home invasion. That would be a very bad scenario. So you want them to acknowledge the door. And, you know, people say, oh, I tell them, say my mom or dad is in the shower. Yeah, you can do that. But it's cliche a little bit. And mm-hmm. It also says it's a kid inside.
Right.
So this is what I say to my children. You say, who is it? I can't help you.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's the only two sentences. Who is it? I can't help you. But, you know, in the moment, they kind of freak out. And I remember the first time someone came to our door, I actually got a phone call from my child going, there's someone at the door.
Thank goodness they had that cell phone.
But they had that phone. But so I say, give them a tool. Give your kids a tool. Put a script on the back of the door with those two sentences. So it's there. So it's facing them. And guess what, parents? Model the behavior. If you see someone coming up that you don't know at the door, do that. Use the script. Model the behavior. Who is it? I can't help you. And then people say, well, what if they start to walk away? You don't need to engage in any more conversation beyond those two sentences.
I told my kids to let the Doberman out.
Yeah.
As I do have a big Doberman, yep. So let the dog out.
But yeah, let the dogs out.
That one better because that way nobody gets hurt and the Doberman's a big fluff ball anyway. So it doesn't matter.
Most dogs, they look big and scary, but
so you put
so
a
much.
Script that says,
Who is it?
I can't help you.
And if somebody on the other end tries to engage them, which was interesting, what happened to my kids? Well, I'm from so and so. And that's when I got the call from my daughter. And I just said, walk away. Mm-hmm. You acknowledge the door. They know someone's home. You said you can't help them. Conversation over.
Mm-hmm.
Done. So But giving your kids those tools. And so I was at someone's house recently, and when I was walking out, they had the sign posted. So I took a picture of it.
Yay!
And I posted it on Facebook, and I said, look at what these great parents did. So you know what? To your listeners, if they put that sign up and their kids decorate it, take a picture and email it to me, and I will post it because that just, I think that is just awesome that parents are doing that, and they're giving their kids the scripts and the tools they need to stay safe.
So can I just do that with anybody that I feel like doing it to?
Oh, yeah.
Who is it? I can't help you?
Yeah.
I'm being a savvy, safe parent. I can't help you.
I can't help you.
Sorry. I love it. So how does someone get a hold of you now that you brought that up?
So, you know, I have to admit, I've just recently, within the last 4 months, got on Facebook, and I'm having kind of too good of a time on
you
Facebook.
Are.
I am having some fun. So, So Facebook is really, really great. So I'm easy to catch, you know, at Savvy Parents Safe Kids on Facebook, or my website, SavvyParentsSafeKids.com, or email Kim@SavvyParentsSafeKids.com. So
Savvy, S-A-V-V-Y.
S-A-V-V-Y.
Kids, yes. K-I-D-S. Okay. Yeah, there you go.
SavvyParentsSafeKids.com.
There you go. So how old is too young to leave your kids home alone?
Well, you know, the big myth is that the law is 12, and there is no law. Mm-hmm. There are recommendations, but there are no laws. And boy, let me tell you, I have had parents challenge me. That's the law. I'm like, it's not a law. Trust me. But the recommendation for Washington State is 10. And I think the reason why they go by recommendations and not laws is because we know really smart kids that at 8 could probably totally handle it. And then we have 18-year-olds that we wouldn't leave home for 5 seconds. So, you know, your own kids, and you know, you could have siblings that do great, siblings that don't do great. So as a parent or a guardian, you are going to have to weigh that. But I really believe that kids that are given tools along the way, I think small intervals starting at around 9, 10 years old, 5, 10, 15 minutes when you run to the neighbors or back and forth is great. But here, you know, to segue into this, if you have a child that's going over to a play date at someone's house, ask those questions. Who's going to be home? Because some parents feel quite comfortable leaving significantly younger children home alone, and that may not be part of your family safety value. And so to ask those questions, who's going to be home, and are you planning on leaving? Because that has happened to me on several occasions, and I have not felt comfortable with those kids being at that particular age being home alone. So ask questions. But I think as a parent, start practicing with them about 10 years old.
You were also talking kind of on that same lines, mm-hmm, about asking where your kids are going, to questions on what are you going to watch? Because you brought up a point, and your husband is just like my husband. I never even thought about that. You know, I have to get on him all the time going, that's not appropriate. Yeah. For children.
Let me just put this out on the air. My husband.
Yes.
He is an amazing dad.
Yes.
And he is the best dad. But you know what? If you are ever coming to a play date at my house, you need to ask the question, and what movies will you be watching? Because he, for all his strengths, he is missing the filter button on movies. And I have just been appalled. And I will say, never sexually explicit material.
Right,
it's never,
right.
I mean, he's not that way, but it's more violent stuff, you know.
Right.
So it's a lot of action films or Trolls, you know, letting my youngest watch Lord of the Rings, and let me tell you, Schmeagol is a bad word in our house. So you know, it's those kinds of things. So if you're coming to my house or anybody's house, if you have a value system around gaming, internet games, or movies, ask the question, because they may not share the same values that you do. And you may be up at nightmares with Schmeagol by not asking.
You go. And better to have those conversations without bringing the kids in the middle of it.
Right.
Yeah, because you don't want your child to feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's life.
It is.
So how do you handle those things is really what is critically important. Well, Kim, thank you so much for coming today.
I had a great time.
I'm glad you did, and I did as well. This time goes by way too fast, and I think that what you're doing is really a calling out
there.
Thank
you. And I do have a tween and a getting ready for kindergarten class coming up. So if people who are interested in attending a workshop at Evergreen Hospital, I have two of them. One is on April 20th. That's the getting ready for kindergarten at Evergreen Hospital. Funeral from 7 to 8:30 p.m. And I also have on March 16th, Be Keen on Your Tween Safety from 7 to 8:30 as well. And that information is on my website, SavvyParentsSafeKids.com.
And I will make sure that I get that information on my website as well. And good. So there's about kindergartners and about tweens and all in between. So
and
that's
PTAs,
perfect.
I've got a special going if you have host a workshop before May 30th. You get a free library book for your school. So
excellent. Oh, so the May 30th. And I highly, 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 highly recommend, Kim, for your PTA meetings or even getting together as a group of parents that have kids in the neighborhood. You know, having Kim come over and do something at your house.
I'll get you to laugh. Great. Teach you some safety.
Awesome stuff. Well, thank you for listening to Walk the Talk with Kim, sponsored by Pearson Law Firm. Expect expert representation, a wealth of experience, and a kind, compassionate attitude from Pearson Law Firm. Thank you and have a wonderful week. And we'll see you next Wednesday. It's a beautiful day. Sky falls, you feel like it's a beautiful day.
The views expressed on